So with that, every now and then, you know that I like to give opportunities for our deacons to spread their wings and to teach. And tonight, I am so blessed to ask that Robert Laura, one of our deacons, to come forward and give the word. So here you go. Prepare thyself.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. Good evening, church. So, I'm glad to be back. I've been gone for a couple weeks. I had my baseball team. We were up in San Diego, and we went to Nationals, and it was a good event for some of our youth here. And we didn't come up. We didn't do very hot. We came up kind of short. Actually, a lot short. We actually got our butts kicked on a couple of games, but that's okay. This was a learning experience. And one of the highlights, though, and this is a true story. So, one thing I do is when I do coach my youngsters, and we pray. We do. I try to introduce the youngsters to prayer and the families. And so before every game, we always step out in the field where everybody can see us because we're not trying to hide, and we pray. And what's awesome about that is even my youngsters, they'll tell me sometimes, they'll say, Coach, oh, we got to hurry up because we got to pray. So I just thought that was awesome. So we stepped out on the field, and we started to pray, and then another parent from another team came up to one of my parents and said, hey, does your son play for that team? And he said, yeah. And he goes, what are they doing? Are they praying? Now, guys, this is California, okay? So we're in San Diego. So he goes, yeah, they're praying. And he was just like, man, that's amazing. That's so good. We don't see that around here. We've heard of coaches, especially over there in places like that, getting in trouble for doing stuff like that. But no matter what, everything we do, God tells us to do for the glory of him, right? So I'm just glad to be back, and got to be back here with my family, with y'all at HBC. Look, y'all, Pastor Randy's got me talking like a Texan now. It's kind of rubbing off on me. But first of all, let's go before the Lord before we start our study. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and I just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to share your word, Lord God. I thank you for this family, Lord, HBC. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Father, this really is sanctuary when I get to come here, Lord God. And when I'm away, I don't realize how much I miss it to when I'm away, Lord. So I'm thankful for this place, Lord. I'm thankful for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. And I just ask that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, may I decrease while you increase. And Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, church, this evening, my study is called Daddy's Got This. So, we're going to be teaching out of Exodus 16, and it's about our Father's provision. So, this evening, let me get situated here. So, I got to put on my glasses. I got to remember that. Again, I think I told you before, it's actually kind of good because now I can see my materials and I can't see you guys. So this evening, the study is going to take us back to a story, and I'm sure you guys are all familiar with this story. It's a true story. So a lot of times I say stories because the Bible's full of stories, but they're true stories. These are true stories. A lot of people associate stories with fiction. Those of you who know and are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that these are not fictions. So we're gonna touch back on a story, and I know a lot of you are familiar with it. Maybe you haven't read it, but I think I know you're familiar with it because many of you might have seen the movie. They show it every Easter. It's one of my best movies of all time. I must admit, I look forward to watching this movie at least once a year. I think you guys might know, or maybe, well, I've already told you because it was in, we're in Exodus, but I think you guys have know what movie I'm talking about. But guys, it's almost become a tradition in our family to watch this movie. That great Charles Heston movie. How many of you guys have seen that movie? It's awesome. The Ten Commandments, right? You know, that's not just a movie, though. That's right out of the scriptures, out of the Bible. It's a true event. You know, I love the stories we read about in the Bible. You know, God had his men account for these for a reason. Do you ever think about, do you ever think how God knew these men and women and these stories, which are true, that were accounted for us, to how today they would be relevant for our lives, and they took place thousands of years ago? Do you ever wonder, how awesome it was that God can still speak to someone here tonight, to someone here today? How he can speak into someone's life using an event that was thousands of years ago. In fact, the Lord tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Not only that the Holy Spirit indwells us and he is here with us tonight, but he never leaves us because he's given us his word, and his word is truth. His word is alive and it's full of life. This is one of the promises we can hang our hat on. In case you were wondering at hanging the hat on, I looked it up in the Urban Dictionary. It's a little fun. It says to rely or to trust in something, to believe or depend on something. Kind of like the phrase, you could take it to the bank. Now, I don't know if there's too many young people. Young people may not know those phrases. That might be an old person's phrase. But I find myself saying a lot of old person's phrase these days. My children tell me all the time, Dad, that's something that grandma or grandpa would say. Younger people, you'll get there one day, okay? The phrases you say, I learned a new one, by the way, this weekend. I learned drip. I was like, what? They were like, some of my players were saying, because, you know, I was wearing my Jordans over there, and they were like, Coach got some drip. I'm like, drip? Style, coach. So that meaning drip might be an old person's phrase by the time you get old. So watch out. So tonight we're gonna move on. So tonight we're gonna look at the scriptures in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. I'm not gonna have them on the we're gonna pick them apart, but they're not on the screen. So if you got your Bibles, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16, and we're gonna go from verses 1 through 21, and we're gonna pick them apart. You know, I was talking to Pastor Steve the other day, and I told him when I was talking to Pastor Steve, I said every time I told him that Pastor Randy, every time he calls upon me to give the word, God always points me to the Old Testament. And it's funny because back, I thought I would never be teaching on the Old Testament. I always thought, you know, if I ever taught, it would probably be in the New Testament, because the New Testament's pretty straightforward and it gives us instruction, and it's pretty, I think it was easier to understand than to pull things out of the stories. And boy, was I wrong. I thought I could never teach out of the Old Testament, and I thought the New Testament was way easier. But now God's got me spending a lot more time in the Old Testament, bringing out the treasures that are locked into the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, it's all the Word of God, and they go together. And the Lord's ways are not my ways. I am consistently learning this in my walk with the Lord. In fact, I never thought I would even be up here teaching, much less teaching in the Old Testament. Heck, I didn't even like reading. I was in school. It was hard for me. Studying was something I dreaded. You see, if there was such a thing as ADHD or ADH or whatever it's called, I would have had it. In fact, when I was young, when I was in, I believe I was in first grade, they told my mom that I was mentally challenged, and she had to take me. They took me to a doctor, and the doctor wanted to give me some tranquilizing medicine, but thankfully my mom refused. But they told my mom I was mentally challenged. They used a different word, but back then there was very little political correctness. So there you go, church. Never say never. Why? Because the Lord's ways are not my ways. So tonight we're going to be in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 21. I want us to look back at the children of Israel. I want us to see how they came into a relationship with God. Tonight I want us to dive into the scriptures and really put ourselves in their shoes of the children of Israel. I want us to think about the things in our life, the things that the Israelites were facing back then. I want us to see how the Israelites trusted God to safely deliver them from their adversaries, which was Egypt, and for their daily provisions in the process. I also want us to see how the children of Israel acted when things didn't seem to go their way. I want us to look at the way they complained and the way they murmured. I want us to look at their disobedience and their lack of faith. I want us to look into how God molded them and how God provided for their needs. But also, with his provision, we're going to point out he gave him instruction. I want us to look at this portion of scripture a little differently than maybe if you saw the movie. I want us to dive deeper rather than just being entertained by a movie. I want us to really ask God to show us how we can relate our lives today to the lives of the children of Israel back thousands of years ago. So without further ado, let's open our Bibles. We're going to read in Exodus chapter 16, again, verses 1 through 21. And I'm not going to read it all the way through, so I'm going to read a few verses here and there, and then we're going to pick them apart. And we're going to see what God wants to teach us tonight. So we'll start in verse 1. And they journeyed from Elam, and the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by our pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And we'll stop there for now. You know, wow. The children of Israel forgot about all the miracles that the Lord had just done for them. Think about it, church, brothers and sisters. They literally tell Moses and Aaron that it was better that they would have remained in their bondage. Think about this. They told Moses and Aaron it would be better if they remained in their bondage. They said it would have been better if we would have died in Egypt by our flesh pot with full stomachs. Think they were hungry? Now, if you're like me, when I'm hungry, I get angry. How many of you can relate with this? Okay, there's a word for it. I don't know if it's in the dictionary, but come on, brothers and sisters. How many of you know that word, hangry? How many of you get hangry at times? How many of you even start to murmur and to complain? I know as for myself, I get pretty irritated. I know because my beautiful bride tells me all the time, you're hangry, aren't you? Or the first thing she'll tell me is, have you eaten? I know my son, that kid can really get under my skin when he's hangry. He is a bear to deal with. Yeah, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, my bride called me because I was working from home yesterday, and he was there, and I was into my work, and I was doing some studying, and I didn't really, you know, I'm thinking like, well, you know, the kid can feed himself, right? I mean, when I'm hungry, I go eat. But my bride went, and she came home, and she picked him up, and she took him to go get some school supplies, and then she calls me. She says, do you realize he hasn't eaten all day? And I said, ooh, well. So he was hangry, and he was a bear. So the children of Israel, so I can kind of, the children of Israel were hangry, but to another level. So the children of Israel were telling Moses and Aaron that they wish they would have stayed back in their situation in Egypt, because at least they had full stomachs. Wow. So when things get a little tough, they immediately forget how God took care of them in the past and look back. They looked back and only remembered how their stomachs were full. They did not remember the misery. They did not remember the bondage. They did not remember how empty they felt. They didn't remember the pain that they suffered. No. The only thing they remembered at that time, looking back, was the pleasure of being with a full stomach, or only the things that brought them comfort. Because right now, they're out of their comfort zone. The so-called good things. Church, brothers and sisters, is this not what some of us do in our own lives sometimes? Do we ever look back and remember, oh, how fun it was to do the things I used to do? What a great time I had. Boy, did we have a ball back when we were in our sin. How many of us, and be honest, the Word of God is a mirror to show us ourselves. How many of us look back on things like that? Man, I used to have a great time back when I was clubbing, or back when I was doing whatever I was doing. But now we have found the Lord, and we treat being saved and walking with the Lord like if it's boring or dead. We're like, man, I used to have such a great time. And it was, man, what a time of my life. But now I'm saved. Now I'm walking with the Lord. Really? We act like being saved is boring. But do we remember, church, the loneliness we felt or we experienced? The emptiness, the pain we had. Brothers and sisters, I remember back when I was in the world, and yes, sinning was fun at the moment. At the moment. But I also remember all the pain and the heartache I instilled on not only myself, but my loved ones. I had to come to the end of my rope before I finally asked God to take this pain away and to take my life. And I remember the day I got saved, church. I'm going to give you I'm going to share a little bit of that with you. I remember like it was yesterday. You know, my wife and I, we had two young daughters, and you know, everything was going great. I had a good job, and you know, on the outside, everybody thought, "Man, you guys look pretty good," but they didn't realize the hell that we were going through, or actually that I was inflicting on myself, and my bride, and my kids. We had just gotten into a big fight, and I actually told my bride that I wanted a divorce. By the way, thank God for His mercy. This October, I will be married 30 years. Thank you, Lord. Of course, I told her that I wanted a divorce. And of course, she agreed because she was pretty much at the end of her rope as well. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I wasn't even in a church the day I got saved, brothers and sisters. We had been going to a church here and there because I thought it was the right thing to do. I thought, well, maybe I can live like hell all week long and I can go to a church and then maybe God will put that onto my account. That was my way of thinking. I remember when I told her and we got into that big old fight, I remember I went into my room and I started packing my things because I was going to leave the house. And at that time, I didn't even care. I told her, you know what, take the house and everything. I'm out of here. I can't stand this anymore. I can't stand being married. I just wanted out. But you know what, brothers and sisters, deep down inside, I thought that I didn't like being married. I thought that I was unhappy being married. But you know what? I was miserable partying and miserable. I used to go out and stay out all night and do things like, oh my gosh, stay out all night with my friends and come home and then turn it around on my family like it was their fault. But I was miserable, church, doing those things. I was in pain. I remember going to my room and packing my things, and for the first time in my life, now again, I remember I was going to a church, and I was hearing the Word of God, and the Word of God was doing something to me, but I didn't realize it, because when I started going to a church, I didn't get saved right away. Like some people just walk into a church and bam, they get saved, but not me. I sat out there in those chairs like maybe some of you are tonight, today, right now. There might be somebody here tonight that has come in here, and you've been coming for a while, but you really haven't surrendered your life to the Lord, and you're sitting here, and maybe this message is exactly for you, because that was me, church. So for the first time in my life in that room, bam, the Lord hit my heart, and I fell to my knees, and I started crying like a baby. Now, that was very unfamiliar territory for me because I grew up with a very machismo family. You know, I grew up, where men don't cry. I used to tell my bride all the time, why are you crying? I didn't cry. Crying for a man was a sign of weakness. And I fell to my knees for the first time that night. And I remember my prayer like it was yesterday. I remember crying out to God. And I remember telling God, God, I don't even know if you're real. I've been going to this church. I hear about you. People tell me how you've changed their lives. But yet, I don't know if I even believe it. I don't even know if you're real. But if you are real, God, I need you to do something in my life because I am miserable. I am miserable being married. I am miserable partying with my friends all night. I am miserable. I don't know what I want. As a matter of fact, church, I almost felt like it would be better if I was just dead. This is true story, church. So that night, God changed me. I remember crying myself to sleep. And the next morning, I was a truck driver at the time. So at the next morning, I got up very early in the morning and I was driving my truck. And I remember for the first time in my life, I was turning to the radio, looking for Christian radio. And I found like Greg Laurie and K-Wave and place. Man, I was just listening and crying all day. And I never would have been caught dead listening to Christian radio before church. So the children of Israel, going back to our scripture, our story here, the children of Israel forgot those times, how miserable they were. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." How about Jesus himself in Luke chapter 9, verses 62, when he says that no man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So that's what the Israelites were doing. They were saying it would be better if we were back in Egypt. How quickly they forgot. So let's keep reading. Verse 4. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.'" We'll stop there. So here the Lord, even though the children of Israel are acting like spoiled brats, says to Moses, "All right, I will give them another supernatural blessing in the form of bread from heaven." Remember, brothers and sisters, the Lord is slow to anger and he is patient with us. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not God because I don't have patience. I would have smoked them up already. But I would have been smoked up already. So, how many of you can attest to this? He does this to test them and see if they will now keep his word and walk with him. Also notice, brothers and sisters, the provision that he gives. Not only did he drop the bread, the manna from heaven, but he says, gather a certain quota every day. So he gave them provision, but he gave them instruction with this provision. He says to gather, a certain quota and not to store up. Not to store up, to only take just enough. So why does he give them instructions? But he does. So we'll touch on the storing up a little bit later. And we'll go through that as we dive deeper into this. Or as our fearless Pastor Randy would say, hang that on your belt. But I'm not Pastor Randy, so I'll say, stick it in your sock. I used to stick things in my socks. So how many of you? Never mind. Back on track. We press on. Do you ever ask the Lord to do something for you? Like, Lord, please take this sin from my life. Lord, please help my marriage be better. Lord, please help me find a job. How many of you ask God for things? It's a natural thing. We ask God for things. How many of us ask God for something and think that he should just hand it over us to us, like bam. Here it is on a platter, kid. Kind of like when a bird feeds his youngin, when he's up with his mouth open, and then the bird comes and drops a worm right in his mouth. She just places the worm right in the bird's mouth, and the bird doesn't have to do a single thing. The bird has no instructions. Let me ask you, church, when your child asks you something, even if it's something good, is it not better that your child do something? Do you ever give your child instruction? Or do you just give it to them? I believe God wants us. He'll give us provision, but he wants us. He wants to teach us. He wants to teach us obedience. So he just doesn't hand over things. I mean, I guess he can, but more so, he wants to teach us something. He wants our obedience, church. He wants us to act and be a part of the miracles he does. So, brothers and sisters, I ask you, are you asking God for something and just sitting on your hands, murmuring and complaining? Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Oh God, I've prayed this over. Pastor, I've prayed this over and over, over, and God just doesn't answer my prayer. Maybe the answer is right before your face. Maybe he just wants you to wait. Or maybe it is right before your face and you just need to reach for it. Maybe God wants you to act and go get the blessing that he wants to provide. Verse 6. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. So notice how the children of Israel, like, the God says that they will know that I am the Lord that brought you out of the children of Israel. Like, they didn't know already? Really? Who was it then? Was it Moses that brought him out? Was it Aaron? No man could have brought them out of Egypt. Moses and Aaron said in the morning, all you shall see the glory of the Lord. Really, like they haven't seen it already. Remember, they all just witnessed the Lord drop all those plagues on Egypt. Do you remember the plagues, the frogs, the blood? Remember those plagues, church? So they witnessed all of that. They witnessed the Lord guide them by a pillar of cloud by day. Man, I wish you got to go back and read this whole story. No, it's amazing. They watched the Lord guide them by a pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night, all while holding back the Egyptians who were chasing them, because Pharaoh had hardened his heart once again. They watched the Lord bring them to the Red Sea, led them to the Red Sea, which May I remind you, they complained and murmured all the way there as well and showed lack of faith all the way. They witnessed the Lord open the Red Sea so they can cross over dry land by foot. They just watched the Lord utterly destroy the greatest army in the world by drowning them as they witnessed the Lord close the Red Sea upon each one of them, destroying every one of them. So what do you mean they haven't seen the glory of the Lord? Wow. What does it take? Moses said to the Lord, but I like Moses. Moses and Aaron, they weren't, because you notice back, it says they complained. They complained against the Lord, not against Moses and Aaron. Moses says, and Aaron says, hey, you're not complaining to us. You're complaining to the Lord. Moses said, the Lord has heard your complaints against him. It is the Lord that guided their footsteps out of Egypt. It was the Lord that brought them out of Egypt. Not Moses or not Aaron. So in turn, Moses is not taking none of that. Tells him, make no mistake, it is the Lord you're complaining to, not us. Do we ever complain about where the Lord has us right now? Other than if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're walking with the Lord, you're truly walking with the Lord, and he has you in a place right now that you're uncomfortable with, he's showing you something, brothers and sisters. He's showing you something. Remember, it is the word of God that brings correction and teaches us and strengthens us. Brothers and sisters, it is not a good thing to complain against the Lord or the God of the universe. So he tells the Lord, so he tells them that the Lord will provide for them manna, bread from heaven in the morning and meat in the evening. So if you know the story, he dropped bread down, it's coming up, and then he does the quail in the day. Maybe the glory, but I still can't get over that glory thing, because he says, you shall see the glory of the Lord. Maybe the glory Moses and Aaron is talking about is the patience the Lord has for them. Remember, the Lord is slow to anger. The mercy for a sinful people. Maybe it is that the Lord would still provide for a complaining, murmuring, unappreciative, sinful people. Maybe the glory is that the Lord will just not destroy these people immediately for their lack of unbelief and their disobedience to him. Especially since they just had witnessed all that the Lord had done for them already. Maybe. I don't know. Just maybe. Maybe that's the glory, that he just doesn't smoke them up. We'll move on. Verse 9. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation, the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. Wow, imagine that. Imagine what that would have looked like. And the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail came up in the evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew, this is verse 13, the dew lay all around the camp, and the layer of dew lifted. There on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it is. That's what manna means, church. Manna actually literally means, "What is it?" Fitting name. So notice the provision that God gives to them. He gives them a kind of a natural provision, because it was natural for quail to come up in the evening, but it was supernatural for just bread to fall from heaven and to only fall on 6 days. That's kind of a supernatural. That's a supernatural blessing versus kind of a natural provision blessing. And Moses said to them, this is verse 15, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to one's need, one omer." By the way, brothers and sisters, an omer is a Hebrew measurement meaning about one handful or a small cup or a small bowlful. So that's what an omer is, in case you were wondering. So let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. So here's the instruction with the provision. They were instructed to take just enough and nothing more. Again, the Lord gives instruction. Why? Why does he give us instruction with provisions? Because he wants, again, I said the answer before, because he wants our obedience. His way, church, not our way. Because the Lord's ways are not our ways. Speed this up a little bit. Verse 17, "Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by the omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered according to each one's need, and Moses said, 'Let no one leave any of it till morning.' Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun came up, it got hot and it melted." So, wow. There's a lot here. So they still don't listen. They complained that they were going to go hungry. Now the Lord is providing food, but the Lord gives them instruction to only take a certain amount, and they still don't listen. They still gather more than they should. And what does the Lord do to it when they do that? It stank. It went bad. Stank up the whole camp. Okay? Every time we do something against the Lord, it's going to stink, church. It's going to stink. Know that. So they don't heed, again, the words of the Lord. Instead, once again, they did what they wanted and took more for themselves. They stored up because they were worried that there would not be enough for tomorrow. Again and again, the children of Israel were disobedient to the Lord's word. You know why they stored up? You know why they sinned against the Lord? Remember, brothers and sisters, they were not sinning or murmuring against Moses and Aaron. They were sinning against the Lord and his instructions. Moses and Aaron asked them to take just enough for that day, except on the sixth day, which was the only day that they were allowed to store up enough for the next day. Here, In that little section here, we see God establishing his Sabbath day of rest. Remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So God not only believes in work, but he also believes in resting in him. He's teaching them something. That's why he's giving them instruction. He's just not feeding them in their mouth like a little bird. He wants them to learn something. And again, here we see, now it is God's plan for us to work and earn our keep, but it's also a plan for him to rest. Remember, brothers and sisters, God is the same. Remember when I asked you, do you feel the need to store up? Though saving is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can definitely get us to take our eyes and dependency off the Lord, our provider. Why do you think Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 19, verses 24, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Sometimes we allow our things, sometimes, church, we allow our things or an abundance of, we come into a place where we start to depend on those things rather than the God who gave it to us. Guilty. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, the Lord says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth." How many of us like to store up? I know there's some people that just can't store up. They just can't save. It just drives them crazy, and they just feel the need to blow everything they get right away. There's some people like that. Not me. I'm one of those that like to store up. I'm one of those that likes to know that I have a little emergency fund tucked away in case something happens. I'm that guy. Like if the Lord doesn't know exactly what we need every day and every minute of the day. Brothers and sisters, many of us, maybe tonight, maybe I'm speaking to you. Maybe you depend on your bank accounts, your 401k, which is crumbling, by the way, if you haven't noticed. I know, because I'm looking at mine like, should I pull it out? Not that I have a lot in there anyways. How about the equity in our homes? Many of us, or most of us, maybe, do we feel comfortable when we don't know where tomorrow's provision will come from? Hello, church. I'm speaking to myself here. Funny how that happens. Our provision, brothers and sisters, comes from the Most High. He is our provider, church. He is our Jehovah Jireh, meaning God will provide. Today, like many of us, I'm personally going through some uncertain stuff in times in my life. But it's in these times that I have to hang onto the promises of God. It's these times that I have to stand on the word of God and what he says, that he loves me, that he wants the best for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans for you, saith the Lord, not to harm you, but to bring you a future and a hope." I have to stand on those promises in times like this. Maybe I'm talking to you tonight. That's why it is so important that we hide the word of God in our hearts so that we can remind ourselves when these times come how much our Heavenly Father loves us and how much he wants the best for us. He knows what I need. He's my ultimate provider. In fact, Jesus himself taught this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. He says, therefore, do not worry about what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. Or after all these things, or the Gentiles seek, or unbelievers, they seek these things. Unbelievers don't have hope, church. So don't worry, church. Easier said than done, right? I think when I read these scriptures and how the children of Israel acted, I think, wow, how can they act like that? Remember, I said that is absolutely amazing that all these stories and teaching, which are true, by the way, are here and active for today so that we can examine our own lives. God gave us the scriptures so we can apply them to our lives today. Oh, my God, just like the Israelites, thank you for your patience with me. I think I might have to, I think I've used this analogy one more time. I've used this analogy before, but I'm going to use it again. So you have your child, right? And what if your child was telling you, what if your child was like, great, what are we going to eat? Even though you just fed him breakfast or fed him lunch, what are we going to eat tonight, Dad? Did you just bring me this far so I can starve? What if your child did that to you? That's ridiculous, right? You know why? Because your child has faith that you're going to provide for him. Your young child, childlike faith, he has faith that you're going to provide and he's not going to worry about those things. Yet we read that the children of Israel did just that. And in all reality, if we look and examine the scriptures, we can see ourselves right there. So instead of murmuring about, no. So you see, brothers and sisters, when we do not trust our Heavenly Father, like the Israelites, we're in sin. Yes, I know it's easier said than done. And you know what? We're a work in progress, Lord. I mean, church, we're a work in progress. I'm a worrier. So I ask God, help me to remember your word. Burn it into my heart so that I don't act a fool. Lord, you've taken care of me every single day of my life, even before I was yours, you still provided for me. You have never left me without. Why am I murmuring and complaining today? It's sin. We saw it over and over how the children of Israel would be disobedient and do the opposite of the word of God. They would cry, complain, even after the Lord rescued them time and time again. Do you realize that's what we do? Do you realize that every time we sin, church, no matter what the sin is, we tell God that we don't believe him? We tell him that we don't believe that he wants what's best for us? We tell him, I'm going to get what is mine because I know that you're not going to really, you don't care enough for me to give me the very best. Brothers and sisters, I believe God is speaking to you and wants you to repent as well as myself, if I'm talking to you. The children of Israel, brothers and sisters, the children of Israel got to witness the glory of God in a cloud thousands of years ago. Do you realize that one day, very soon, we will get to witness the glory of the Lord in a cloud as well? We're going to witness that, church. One day, he's going to come back for his children, and he's going to be on a cloud in glory, and he's coming for us, and he's coming for us soon. So maybe all these stories are new to you, and you still haven't repented. Maybe that one person that I was talking about that's been coming to church, but you really haven't surrendered your life 100% to the Lord, what are you waiting for? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe God isn't your God yet. Today you can make that choice to surrender your heart and your life to Him and let Him be your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. You can give your heart today to Him, brothers and sisters, if there's somebody here. Or if maybe some of you have been struggling with the very things that I've taught about tonight. Maybe that's you. Maybe your faith has been wavering. Maybe you've had lack of faith. In a moment, I'm gonna wrap it up here, but we're gonna have a couple of deacons up here and they're gonna pray for you. If that's you, just come on up here and ask God to help you. Because we're a work in progress, church. We're men and women under construction. God wants your heart. He wants your obedience. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we come before you tonight. We thank you for your scriptures, Lord. We thank you for stories, true stories, Lord, like the children of Israel, and how we can see how what they went through, and you can teach us, and how it's so applicable for our lives today. Father, we just want to trust you, Lord. While we're in these sinful bodies, help us to be built up to be more like you, Lord. If there's anybody here, Father, that hasn't surrendered completely, I pray that they would come up and pray with one of the deacons up here. I pray, Lord, that if there's some struggling with lack of faith, that they would come up and pray with the deacons here. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our congregation. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we go out into this world so that we can make a difference. I love you. We praise you, Lord. And in your mighty, precious name, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.